Morning. Today's daf nidos test vav. We're in Yudal Amud Beis. Gemara spending a lot of time with the following scenario. A woman does a bedika with herself. She does a bedika using a cloth that was not checked. Instead of looking at it immediately, she wipes it on her thigh, or she puts it in a box, and the next morning she looks at it. Let's go with the box scenario. She puts it in a box. Next morning she looks at it. So, and there's dam on it. So under those circumstances, is she a nida, yes or no? Gemara spending a lot of time with this particular scenario. The complication of the scenario is that it was a cloth that was not pre-checked. And as a result of that, it could be that there was blood on it beforehand and not coming from her. There's that possibility. And so it's a suffix, or at least a potential suffix, a possible suffix. So under those circumstances, is she a nida, is she a suffix, or is she a sfeika? Or is she nothing? Those are your three possibilities. So the Gemara spent some time discussing it. The Gemara said yesterday that this really correlates with the opinions of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. So my Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara is going to investigate in terms of what exactly is this machlokes in Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi, and how does it correlate with our discussion. So we're going to just pick it up right where we left off yesterday in Yudal Amud Beis. My Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rav Arba Amas Natana. So the Gemara quotes the following braisa: Rabbi Mitamei, Rabbi Yossi Mitaher. Rabbi is Mitamei and Rabbi Yossi is Mitaher. Right? Remember yesterday we had one of those usual cases in the Gemara where there was somebody who was praised. He came in and he said, "Listen, I can give you Rabbi's position. I can give you Rabbi Yossi's position. Which would you like? Would you prefer to hear?" And now we're seeing it inside. So Rabbi says that she's Tmeya, and Rabbi Yossi says that she is Tahora. And the Gemara is going to explain. V'amar Rabbi Zera kishetime Rabbi kerebi Meir. So that when Rabbi was Matame, he was Matame like the sheet of Rabbi Meir. So now the Gemara is going to make further correlation. That Rabbi really goes in accordance with Rabbi Meir and kishetime Rabbi Yossi latzmoti here. And Rabbi Yossi is Matar like himself, meaning like another position that he took, which is also going to correlate with our discussion. Detailing the Gemara quotes this by Sa Isha Shaisa Osa Tzarcheha. Woman's urinating Verasa Dam and she sees blood. Now, blood that comes from the uterus is going to make her a nida. We'll give her the tumas nida. Blood coming from not the uterus is not going to make her a nida. It's really straightforward. That's the easy part. Of course, if she is urinating and bleeding at the same time, so there is a couple possibilities. The blood could be urine blood. Could be coming from a urethra tract, or it could be coming from a uterus. So this bleeding that's occurring while she's urinating, so what is going to be the status of that blood? The fact is that we don't know where the source of the blood is. We have a strong likelihood of where it's coming from, but we're not sure. So what becomes of such a woman? Reb Meir Omer Im Omedes Tameya, Im Yosheves Tahora. So Reb Meir says that if she's standing, she's Tameya, and if she's sitting, she's Tahora. What's the difference between urinating while standing versus sitting? So the assumption that Reb Meir is making is that while she's sitting, so the urine's coming out unabated. Nothing's impeding, nothing's blocking the urine from coming out. If there's blood together with the urine, so that means that there is some sort of, this is not my diagnosis. I'm not diagnosing it. I'm just giving a, you know, possibility. It's a urinary tract infection. In other words, but it's not coming from the uterus. It's not dam min hamakor, and so therefore she's tahara. On the other hand, if she's standing, so when she's standing, so therefore it is not a flow that's coming out freely from her, and so therefore the blood that's mixed in, so it's a possibility that that's uterine blood. Now, I said the word possibility. I'm going to come back to that word that I said in just a moment. But anyway, that's the shita of Reb Meir. The point is that according to Reb Meir, we have a scenario in which, as long as there's a possibility that there's blood, she is Tameya. Reb Yossi, Omer, Ben Kach, Tomer, Reb Yossi says she's Tahora. Reb Yossi says, not interested in possibilities, meaning if it's uterine blood, so then she's Tameya. But by virtue of the fact that it's coming out while she's urinating, so that means to say that that blood is not uterine blood. And even if she were to urinate while standing, and even though it's no longer an unimpeded urine that's coming out of her, it doesn't matter. In other words, if the blood's coming out while she's urinating, she's tahora. So that's the shita of Reb Yossi. So it's an interesting correlation. Meaning it's not, obviously they're two totally different cases, but the fact is that according to Reb Yossi, under these cases where it's a chance that it's uterine blood, but there's also a really strong chance that it's not uterine blood, so Reb Yossi says that she's Tahora. On the other hand, Reb Meir says that if there's a chance that it's uterine blood, so she's going to be Tameya. Correlating with our scenario where the woman checked herself with a cloth that was not pre-checked, and then next morning she discovers blood on that cloth, And so under those circumstances, Reb Yossi says that she is Tamea, correlating with the sheet of Reb Yossi with the woman who's urinating while standing. Okay, that's the that's the parallel scenarios between the two. Yes, it is a Suffolk Daraisa. Especially if she's seeing the blood coming out of her. That is a Suffolk Daraisa. On the other hand, however, the other factors are very strong factors. In the case of urination, so the fact is that the blood's coming out with urine. So that is a really strong factor that it would indicate that this is urinal blood. It's blood, right? It's not right. It's less than a suffix. And as far as a pre-check cloth, right? That I'm going to have a harder time explaining that as being less than a suffix. But okay. Anyway, that's how the Gemara correlates the two. So Amle Ravacha Breid Ravela Ravashi Vaha Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Kishitime Rabbi Meir Lotime Elam Mishum Kesem. So the Gemara says, you know, I happen to know that when Reb Meir says that she is Tamea, Kesem. Kesem meaning analogous to a stain found on her clothing. I.e., it's not a suffix vadai, it's only a suffix, sorry. It's not Tomas vadai, it's only Tomas suffix. The Ilu Rebbe Mishum Nida Kamar. Now, when Rebbe said that under those circumstances she is Tamea, Rebbe used the word Nida as if to say it's a vadai. So Amalei Anan Hachi Kamar Naki Itmar Da'ahi Mishum Nida Itmar. So he says, okay, look, you have your traditions of Rebbe. We have our tradition of Rebbe. And our tradition of Rebbe is that it wasn't Tamea Mishum Kesem, it wasn't a suffix, Vadai. In other words, Nida. And so therefore the cases do in fact correlate, and we do feel that it is a good correlation, it's a correct correlation. Okay. We go back to the Mishnah, and we're talking now about the examination that she does upon herself immediately after the conclusion of having relations with her husband. There are, in the Mishnah, three time periods. She does an examination immediately after Bia. Immediately, we're going to actually give a description of what immediately means. There's going to be a small interval, small gap between the relationship she had with her husband and her examination. And then there's going to be a longer gap of time. There are three time periods in which to discuss. And what we're going to try to do, it's not going to be easy, is that we're going to try to give actual quantifiable measurements of these time periods. The Osyom is obviously the easiest. After that, it gets a little bit tricky quantifying time without using seconds. But the Gemara does this all the time, and this is going to be one of those circumstances. Nimsa shala Osyom Temeim. So if the blood is discovered, she does a bedika immediately afterwards, so they are Temeim, meaning we know that he was Bol Nida, even though the examination was done afterwards, but because it was done immediately afterwards, so she is and he is are both Tamei. He was a Bol Nida. Tan Rabbana Ezu Shir Vest, give me an example of what it means immediately. Mashal Shamash Ve'ed, Sha'om Din Bitsana Mashkov. So both the Shamash and the Eid, the male and the cloth, were both by the lentil. The Gemara is using this as a Dugma, as an example. B'Yitziyah Shamash Nichnas Eid. And the moment that he exits, so she wipes herself immediately. Have a vest. That is the definition of vest. As I already explained before, the word vest is used in our Masechta, either as describing a cycle or, in this context, used to describe immediacy, so that the wipe was done immediately after he left, he exited. She'ar melekinu chavalu lebedika. And because we need immediacy over here, it's not even enough time for her to do an internal examination. An internal examination would be too long a gap. So over here, we're just talking about a wipe immediately after he leaves. Nimsal shalal achar zman. Tana v'chayav ma'ashem taloi. Now, if there is a small gap, let's call it the intermediate gap, okay? Because there's going to be either immediately, small gap, which we're now going to call intermediate gap, and then there's going to be a large gap. So if there is an intermediate gap, so then our Mishnah says that they are not tmeim vadai. Was he bo'al anida? Answer, we don't know. Or let's say it better. Uncertain. Now, when it comes to uncertainty of an Isser the Araisa, specifically of an Isser Kares, so we could talk about a Karban Hashem Taloi. Not only could we, we're about to. Our Karban Hashem Taloi, as we discussed extensively in Krisus, is where a person had two pieces of fat in front of him. One was prohibited, one was permitted. One was Chalev, the other one was Shuman. He ate one of those two pieces. He doesn't know which one he ate. So under those circumstances, he has to bring a Karban Hashem Taloi. We discussed it at length in Masechta Krisus. Over here, a man had relations with a woman. She may have been in need at the time. She did an examination, not immediately afterwards, but with an intermediate gap between the relations and her bedika. And so now there's a real possibility that at the time of Bia, she was a Nida, and he was Bol Nida. Is an Ashem Talui carbon going to be required? Our Mishnah made no mention of it. The Brisa does. So the Gemara is calling the Brisa. Tana v'chayav Ashem Talui, v'tana didan. Now what about our Mishnah? So my time of being chaticha mishtei chatichos. Our Mishnah does not require an Ashem Talui, but only for a technical reason, as we learned back in Masechta Krisos. There are those who have the opinion that you only bring a carbon Ashem Talui when it is where the Isser is kavua. We know that there was Isser there. It just happens to be. We don't know if he ate the Isser, right? Like the example I gave of the two pieces of fat. Over here, there is not shtei chatichos, meaning it's not that there's Isser and there's Heter. Right now, there's just an open-ended question that he may have had relations with this woman while she was a Nida, but it's not shtei chatichos. There was no kvius Isser, and so therefore, it's not analogous. And so on a technicality, our Mishnah does not require the Ashram Talui. The Braisa that does require Hashem Talui, the Braisa doesn't need this technicality of Kvias Isser. Ezu Acher Zman, Uriminu. Now the Gemara is going to be spending some time trying to figure out what is the time frame of the intermediate. Now, we know where it begins. It begins after immediately. Anything after immediately now is moving us into the next time frame. How long does that time frame extend to? Our Mishnah gave a description, but the problem's going to be the description of the Mishnah is not exactly the same as the description of the Braisa we're about to learn. Ezi wachar zman pirush Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok kidei shetoshit yada tachas hakaru tachas hakeses v'titol eid v'tivdok bo. She had a bedika cloth right underneath her pillow, and it's enough time for her to get the bedika cloth from underneath the pillow and wipe herself. And the Braisa uses the words paneha, actually the Mishnah does, but paneha over here is used euphemistically, meaning the amount of time that it takes for her to wipe herself. Now, what's the problem? Problem is that if you go back to the Mishnah, read the Mishnah talks about the amount of time it takes her to get off the bed and then for her to do a bedika. This Braisa doesn't mention anything about her getting off the bed. The Braisa only talks about the bedika cloth being underneath the pillow, and it is a shorter period of time. So the problem is that our Mishnah and our Braisa do not correlate. Amar Rav Chisda. So the Gemara is going to give two approaches to this problem of the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. And we start with first Rav Chisda's resolution. My achar, acher, acher. So our Mishnah that talks about getting off the bed, that's not talking about the intermediate period of time. That's talking about the longer period of time. Meaning that's at that point in time, it's no longer a suffix. It does, of course, fall under the category of meis meis. It's within the last 24 hours, but that's gzera de rabbanan. There's a difference between the suffix and the gzera of meis leis. And we're going to highlight that in just a moment, the differences. But according to Rav Chisda, our Mishnah was talking about not the intermediate period of time, but rather the longer period of time, the third stage. Now, v'haktani ala nimsa ashala lachras man tamei misafik, u'ptur min hakarban. So the Gemara says, if you read on in the Mishnah, you don't get that impression. The Mishnah says that if blood was discovered on that bedika cloth, so it's a suffix. Not the tumma me'es leis, but rather a suffix. Our Mishnah seems to be talking about the intermediate period of time. So, ezu acher zman, kidei sheterid min amita v'tadich panah. So the Gemara says you're just going to have to reread the Mishnah. So when the Mishnah says ezu acher zman, it means it's referring not... I'm sorry. Neim sashal al achar zman tamei misafik b'tur minam karban ezu achar zman kiddush ter min amita v'tadiach banah. So you read the Mishnah, the impression you get from the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is describing the intermediate period of time, not the long period of time. Hachi kamar. And here the Gemara says what you'll have to do in defense of Rav Chisda is you're just going to have to read the Mishnah with a little bit more subtlety, a little more punctuation. Okay. And here's how you'll read the Mishnah. Ezu achar zman kiddush toshi yada latachas akar latachas akesus v'titol eid v'tivdok bo. You'll insert our understanding, our Braisa, into the Mishnah. Meaning, first there's the period of immediacy, which we already, that's clearly defined. Then there's the second period of time, the intermediate period of time, which is, there's already a prepared cloth underneath her pillow. She didn't even get off the bed, she just took it and she wiped herself. That's the intermediate period of time. And then, and then when you go into the third period of time, anything after that interval, so then it's going to be the machlokas Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Chachamim said that he is not considered a bol nida, not even misafik, and Rabbi Kiva says he is considered a bol nida. again, even as I'm trying to read into the Mishnah, it doesn't read that well into the Mishnah. So hachi kamer, v'zehu achar kach shenechluku Rabbi Kiva chachamim. And again, the Gemara says, okay, I know it doesn't read that well into the Mishnah, but read it into the Mishnah. What we'll say in the Mishnah is, and the achar kach, that's the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the chachamim. Meaning it's describing the, not the intermediate period of time, but the longer period of time. Okay, this is all Rav Chisda's approach in terms of resolving the Mishnah and the Braisa. We're looking for the defining, the quantifiable time that separates between the intermediate gap and the long gap. Our Mishnah says she's getting off the bed. The Braisa says she's just reaching underneath the pillow. She's not getting off the bed. How do I resolve that? The resolution is, according to Rav Chisda, if she gets off the bed, she's already in the third stage. If she is only reaching for her a bedikah cloth underneath the pillow, that's the second stage. That's the intermediate stage. Okay, that is all approach number one.
First stage then?
First stage is immediacy.
But doesn't she have to reach for the cloth?
No. Right? No, it was there. In other words, she wasn't reaching for anything. It was already it was already in her hand, and she did an examination immediately after he exited. That's the immediacy. That's the OCM. That's all approach number one. That is Rav Chisda. Rav Ashi gives another approach. Rav Ashi Amar Yidividi Chachi Yorehu. Rav Ashi says, no. The Mishnah and the Braisa are both describing intermediacy. And it's better to say it that way because as we just discovered, when you read the Mishnah, it's really hard to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah was describing the third stage. It sounds pretty clear that the Mishnah is describing the second stage. But again, we back into the fact that there's a discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Mishnah talks about her exiting, her getting off the bed. The Braisa does not give that description, but rather she's just reaching underneath the pillow. So Rav Ashi will tell you, look, it's one gap of time. We're just using two ways to describe one gap of time. If the aid is already in her hand, so then this gap of time can be expressed by her getting off the bed. If the examination cloth is not in her hand, the same gap of time can be described by it can be described by her reaching underneath the pillow in order to get the aid cloth, in order to do an examination upon herself. So Rav Ashi says, look, Mishnah and Braisa are both describing the intermediate period of time. It's just that there's a difference. It's the same unit of time. If the cloth is readily available in her hand, so then this time can be described as her getting off the bed. If it's not in her hand, the same unit of time can be described as her reaching underneath the pillow in order to get it. Okay, so we have Rav Chisda's resolution. We have Rav Ashi's resolution. Which one is correct? Elu ve'elu. Which one is more defensible? We're going to see that right now. Meisvei, Ezu achar zman, davar zeh shal, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, lifnei chachamim be'usha. So what is the achar zman period according to the Braisa? So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok asked the chachamim while they were in Usha, v'amar lahem, and he said to them as we now are on the top of Tezvav Amud Aleph, Shemekar Rabbi Kiva, atem omen. Shematam is Baala. So are you holding like Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that even during the Meisvei period, so he's considered a Baal Nida. So are you asking because you subscribe to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva? Amar lo, lo shamanu. And immediately you see him take a defensive position of, no, I'm not holding like Rabbi Akiva. Right? Lo shamanu literally means we didn't hear. I didn't hear. But in this context, it simply means, no, I didn't. I don't hold like Rabbi Akiva. His defensive position is because in this particular scenario, Rabbi Kiva is a yachid, right? Those who are arguing are the rabbin. So fine. So no, I'm not holding like them. Amalem kach pirshu chachamim biyavne. So he says to them, this is how they explained in Yavne. Lo shasa kidei sheter min amita v'tadichas paneha toch zman hu. So if she did not wait the amount of time where she's getting off the bed and she's wiping her face, again euphemistically, toch kideihu. So that's considered toch. So that is the intermediate period of time. It's a suffix. And by the way, according to this braisa, ashram talui. This braisa does not have the requirement of kviya sisser like our Mishnah does. But fine. Shasa kedesh teren min amita v'tadich espanea acher zmanhu ze. If, however, the gap of time now is so long that it takes her to get off the bed in order to get her cloth, in order to wipe herself, so this is considered acher zmanhu ze. And anything from that point going to the retroactive 24 hours, so that is going to be maganida. Meaning we'll put him in the category of someone who came into contact with Anida, but even though he had relations with Anida, or let's say better, he may have had relations with Anita, but because we're not immediate, and because we're not in the intermediary gap, but rather we're in the longer gap, so anything longer gap up to 24 hours, it's not Bo'al Nida. And then Rabbi Kiva Omer, Af Matami Mishum Bo'al Nida. Sorry, I added a word. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Af Matami Mishum Bo'al. And Rabbi Kiva says that, no, it's a Bo'al Nida, but that already we saw is the Shita of Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Omer, and the Gemara offers a third opinion. The Brisa tells us that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Bala Nichnas Lehechel Amakter Ketores. If her husband was a Kohen, the husband can go into the Beis HaMikdash and offer the Ketores. Another way of saying he's Tahor Legamre. Okay, so these are the three opinions in the Brisa. The opinion of the Tanakama, Rabbi Kiva, and the son of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rav Yehuda. Bishlam Rav Chista, Hainu Demetare Rabbanan. So now, according to Rav Chista, actually, the Brisa works out really well. Because remember, what did Rav Chista do in terms of resolving the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Brisa? According to Rav Chista, the Mishnah was only describing the third stage, not the intermediate stage. And so therefore, as long as she's getting off the bed, we are in the realm of the third stage. That is exactly what the Brisa just taught us. Ela l'Rav Ashi, amai mitare Rabbanan. But according to Rav Ashi, Tahor, we're talking about a suffix, according to Rav Ashi. Meaning if she had her bedikah cloth readily in her hand, and she got off the bed, that's the intermediate stage, that's a suffix. V'chitema de'ein eid biyada. Now, you want to tell me that, well, maybe we're talking about a case where she didn't have the cloth in her hand? Well, if the entire question of whether or not they are tame is going to revolve around whether the cloth was in her hand or not in her hand, that would have been a really important point the Brisa should have made, considering that the Brisa was talking about her getting off the bed. And so the Brisa then should have said, well, it's going to depend whether the cloth is in her hand or not in her hand. Kashya, the Gemara says, you're right. The Brisa doesn't read well for Rav Ashi. The Brisa reads a lot better for Rav Chista. And so the Gemara ends off by saying that Elu ve'Elu, they're both Shitos, but which one reads them better in the Brisa? So Rav Chista. I will remind everybody that Rav Ashi reads a lot better in the Mishnah, like we discussed just moments earlier. But at least within the Brisa, Rav Chista reads better in the Brisa. And you know, whenever the Gemara ends off a discussion by saying Kashya, that is analogous to the Gemara basically shrugging his shoulders, saying, you're right, that's difficult. But in other words, but it's not backbreaking. In other words, it won't allow us to reject the opinion of Rav Ashi just because he doesn't read well in the Brisa. Rabbi Yehuda ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Omer Bala, Nichnas Lehechel Umaktir Ketores. For this man who had relations with a woman where she did a bedikah examination, not in the immediate stage, not in the intermediate stage, but rather in the Acher Zman, in the third stage, so she's Anita. She did an examination. Is he going to be considered a Bo'al Nida? So in the Brisa, Tanakama says, no, it's only Tumah Meisayis. Rabbi Kiva says, he's considered a Bo'al Nida. And then the third Shita, the Shita of Rav Yochanan Zakkai, the third Shita, the son of Rav Yochanan Zakkai says, he is Tahor Legamre, and certainly expresses it in really strong terms. He can go into the base of Mikdash. He could be Makter Kataris. The Gemara's question, V'tepekle da havi nogea b'meislei shebenida. So Gemara says, wait 1 second. So he did come into contact with Anita in her retroactive 24 hours. He is, at minimum, he is now Maga Nida. He touched Anita. He can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. What's going on here? The Gemara's next question. So who da amar kisham and da amar kol nashim dayin shaitan? So the Gemara says, well, the son of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai subscribes to the Shita of Shammai. Really interesting answer of the Gemara. The son of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai already is at a tkufa, a historical period, where Shammai's position is seemingly a position that has been rejected as far as halacha is concerned. And meanwhile, you find a later Tana, the son of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, who's still subscribing to the Shita of Shammai. Okay, good, right? Maybe a fair observation. But anyway, typically Dave Balkari. So the Gemara says, okay, but he had a discharge, a seminal discharge, and I know it's ironic, but we've said this many times, a man who has a seminal discharge, so he's tummy. And even though he's with his wife and it's a mitzvah, okay, but at the same time he's also tummy. So he can go into the Beis HaMikdash and he can offer ketores. He's a Balkari. What's going on over here? So Bishlo Gamar Biasa. So the Gemara says that there was no Gamar Bia. And so, yes, in Achinami, the scenario is unusual. But just to understand the Shita of Rav Yehuda, son of Rav Yocham and Zakkai, so that's the scenario in which he's describing. Umodim Chacham LeRabbi Kiva Beroa Kesem. Now, a woman did not do an examination, but rather she was Roa Kesem. So she saw a stain on her clothing. Now, Ksamim, as we've discussed already now a couple of times in our Masechta, and it's Yediyos Klalios, it's just basic information to know for our Masechta, a Roa Kesem is a Nida, but not Midaraisa, Midarabanan. Oddly enough, even though it's a Dindarabanan, but it's actually more cause for Suffolk, because the stain came from her. Forensically, it looks like that's where it came from. We don't know when it came because there was no hargasha. We don't know when it came, but didn't come via bedika. But we know that it came from her at one point in time historically. So a man had relations with a woman who discovered a kesem. So the chachamim are going to agree to Rabbi Akiva that under those circumstances, he is in fact considered a bol nida. Meaning it's not a me'es le'es scenario, but rather it is a scenario in which he's going to be a bol nida. Albeit, midarabana, not midaraisa, but still, in other words, the chachamim are going to be machmir in under such circumstances. Now, amarav lemafreya, Rebbe Meirhi. Now, how far back are we going? Meaning, we're being machmir by a kesem. So, are we going to go back retroactively? Meaning, from before the discovery of the kesem? So, Rav says yes. That's what's meant over here. Lemafreya. And it accords with the sheet of Reb Meir, as we learned earlier in our Masechta. Reb Meir says that a roa kesem, a woman who saw a stain on her clothing, so her tumah retroactively is going to go to the last time that she laundered the garment. Ushmul amar mikan laba. And Shmuel says no. She will be a nida, but only from the point of discovery going forward of her kesem, but not retroactively backwards. V'rabbanan hi, that's going to the sheet of the chachamim. Why, according to the chachamim, are we not going back retroactively? So again, it goes back to the fact that kesem is a din derabanan. And so according to the chachamim, the gzera derabanan does not take us back retroactively. It only goes from the point of discovery going forward. Pshita, the Gemara says now, although what the Gemara is saying is good, it's also obvious. Meaning we already learned earlier in the Masechta, the Shita's of Rav Meir and the chachamim. And what do we just add to our discussion? Ma'u detema home es leis derabanu ksamim derabanan. Ma'am es lamatam es bo'ala, af samim lamatam es bo'ala. So the Gemara says, no, it's a chiddush. Because consider, the retroactive tumah, the retroactive 24 hours of tumah for a woman who's a nida, so that's a din derabanan. Kesem is a din derabanan. Just like the popular approach of a me'es le'es is that he's not considered a bol nida because it's a din derabanan, so we could just simply extend that to a kesem as well. A woman who saw a kesem, although she's a nida, she's going to be treated like a nida, but nevertheless, the chachamim were not gozer on the husband to be considered a bol nida. So kamash malan. So the Gemara says that's the chiddush, that vis-a-vis meis la'eis, the husband's not considered a bol nida. Vis-a-vis kesem, the husband is considered a bol nida. Be'ema achinami. Now the Gemara says, wait 1 second. That was a wonderful argument. Meaning, if kesem is the rabbanan, meis la'eis is the rabbanan, and we know. By Meis Leis, we don't give him the status of Bol Nida. Why don't we say the same thing by Kesem, which is also Dinder Rabbanan? Hasam ain't sure shachut lefanecha, hacha yesh sure shachut lefanecha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there's the Rabbanan, and then there's a the Rabbanan, and they're not the same. You see, in the case of the Kesem, sure shachut lefanecha, the ox is shechted right in front of us, meaning the evidence is right here in front of us. There's the Kesem. We're looking at it. We know that the strong probability is that it came from her. And so therefore, the chachamim were goes there, not only that she's a nida, but he, the husband's a bol nida. However, when it comes to a tumah meis la'eis, so that's not shur shachut lefanecha. Now she's a nida, that part's true. But to go back retroactive 24 hours, that's a chumr derabanan. So the chumr derabanan is not going to tell us that she was a nida for the last 24 hours. The chumr derabanan is that because there is this chance, albeit it's a remote chance, the Chachamim moved her tumah back 24 hours. But it's a chumr derabanan. And so therefore, to make the husband a bol nida in those retroactive 24 hours, the Chachamim are not ready to go that far. the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is also the same machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, vis-a-vis our roa kesem. Is the husband of a roa kesem going to be considered bal nida? So that is going to be, and are we going to go back retroactively? Are we going to go from the point of discovery going forward? That is a machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, just like we saw the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. We're at the Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches us, called Nashim Mecheskes Tahara Lebaalehem. Women are under a presumption that they are permissible to their husbands. Nishem Lahem Becheskes Tahara. Person coming home after a trip, so he can assume that his wife is in a state of Tahara. These two presumptions of the Mishnah are basically repeating itself. The second presumption is a stronger one than the first one. First one, the husband's there in the house. And so she knows that she is going to be with her husband. So under those circumstances, the assumption can be made that she's doing her bedikas. If he goes away, still the assumption can be made that she's doing her bedikas. Now, one second. There's more information coming. So let's just, some of your questions are going to be answered. Just okay, give it a moment. We just learned the Mishnah. It's just a Mishnah, meaning that's why there's Gemara. the Gemara is going to ask a number of questions. So lama lemisne habayim in aderech sakadat chamina hani milehechadisa be masad derami anavshe ubadka. And the Gemara says, what was the second point of the Mishnah? Well, I know I already said this, but I should have let the Gemara say it. But anyway. In the case where we have a presumption that she's in the state of Tahara, so that's when the husband's home. He's in town. And so therefore, it's on their consciousness that she should be doing a bedika. But if he's out of town, the lo ramya nafsha, where it's just simply not on her mind, lo. So I might have thought that she just neglected to do her bedikas. So kamash malan. So the chiddush is that even under those circumstances, the assumption is that she's going to be doing her bedikas. I.e., like I said back in the Mishnah, the second example of the Mishnah is really a bigger chiddush than the first one. Amri Shlakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya, V'hu Shabal Matzah B'toch Yemei Onasa. Now, this idea that he was on a trip and he comes home and that she is in a state of Tahora, you have to take time into consideration. You have to. Meaning, obviously, the menstrual cycle is such where from 30 days to 30 days, she's going to menstruate again. So the idea that the husband can come back at any time and just simply assume that his wife is in a state of Tahara, that can't be, because she is going to be menstruating again. So what the Amoraim are doing, and let's give proper attribution, what Reish Lakish is saying in the name of Yehuda Nesiya is that this assumption of the Mishnah is only when he's coming back, b'soch yemei onasa, only within her cycle. Within her cycle, we're going to read the first Rashi of the Gemara, b'soch yemei onasa, lama yom l'riya. That's going to be 30 days from the last time she saw. What we described earlier in the Masechta as an ona beinonis. It's the average gap between one riya to the next riya. Aval achar lamed, but after 30 days, by bedika, hol v'stam nashim chazyan l'sof ona. But after 30 days, obviously, if she's going to be with her husband, a bedika is required. Now, if we're talking about after 30 days, obviously, the point I'm about to make is the most obvious. Obviously, she didn't start menstruating, because if she did, then obviously there's nothing to talk about. If we're talking about a scenario where 30 days have come and gone, and she didn't start menstruating, so under those circumstances, in order for her to be with her husband, she has to do a bedika. And there can be no presumption being made at that point in time.
How about 50 days?
One second. Again, just wait. Gemara's gonna take a number of things into account. All right. Amar Ravuna Loshna Ela She'in Lavest. Aval Yesh Lavest Asur L'Shamish. So Ravuna puts in the following modification. And that is only a woman that does not have a fixed cycle. But for the woman who has a fixed cycle, also l'shamish. She cannot have relations with her husband. So the Gemara says, what? What? The Gemara is like, I'm trying to process that. I'm not processing. Kalpe layam. Gemara says, it sounds like if anything, if you're going to make any distinction, sounds like you're going in the wrong direction. Adarabba. Just the opposite. Ipcha mistabra. The opposite makes more sense. Whenever you have the structure of Gemara, the Gemara always puts in these three terms, these three phrases, and there are synonymous phrases. It seems to be superfluous. Kapalaya, Adaraba, Ipcha Mistabra. But anyway, Ein La Vest, if she does not have a fixed cycle, Ema Chazai. Well, because it is uncertain when exactly her next menstrual cycle begins, so there you can make a stronger argument that we lost our presumption. Yesh La Vest, Vest Kavula. But if she has a fixed cycle, so that gives us a better argument to make that she knows when her next cycle starts. So the Gemara says, you're right. We misremembered, or we just simply got incorrect, the Rav Huna statement, and it obviously needs modification. So, Am Rav Huna, Lo Shna, Ella, Shaloi Gia Shas Vesta. What it means to say is that we are talking about a case where the Shas Vest has not yet arrived. Aval Higia Shas Vesta, Asura. But once the Shas Vest comes, so then she's going to be prohibited to her husband, i.e., that she has a fixed cycle. Her fixed cycle time has come before the husband has come home. But since that fixed cycle time has come, so therefore we assume that she's Anida. She didn't feel, she didn't see, because she has a vest kavua, the assumption is that she's Anida. Now, kasavar vestos d'araisa. Now, this takes us to the position that vestos are a din d'araisa. Rashi again here, like you pointed out earlier. When we say vestos d'araisa, Rashi writes halacha lemoshe misinai d'mechazkin ala b'tum asafik, meaning we have a tradition from Sinai that a woman with a fixed cycle, so once she arrives at the time of this fixed cycle, so we assume that she is a nida. This is the halacha lemoshe misinai. Either was no hargasha, she didn't see actual blood, doesn't matter. That's the halacha lemoshe misinai. If I subscribe to the opinion that vestos d'araisa. We will see more of this in tomorrow's daf as to the very fundamental question of vestos d'araisa or vestos d'rabanan. It's a machlokas. And so over here, this statement of Rav Huna is working with the position that vestos d'araisa. Rabbi Bar Chana Amar afilo higia shas vesta nami muteres. Rabbi Bar Chana disagrees with Rav Huna. Even if she has arrived at her menstrual cycle, at what she expected to be the beginning of her menstrual cycle, and she did not see blood, and the time has come and gone, so she can be with her husband, because of her vestos d'rabanan. And he's of the opinion that vestos d'rabanan. And so, as long as she didn't have the regression and she didn't see the blood, and she went past her menstrual cycle, so because vestos are din d'rabanan, din d'araisa, so therefore the chazaka is that he can be with his wife. Again, just, I know, but let me first just finish the flow, and then I'll pause. Rav Ashi Masnehachi. Rav Ashi, when he taught this, he taught it in a slightly different format. Amar Rav Huna, as we are now on the top of the Amud Beis. Amar Rav Huna lo shana lo shein lavest liyamim. Ela yesh lavest liyamim ulukfitzos. Our Mishnah that says that she's in a cheskas tahara, and our Mishnah seems to indicate even when the ace vesta comes, even when the time of her expected next cycle comes, she will be in the cheskas tahara. That's only talking about where she has a very specific type of vest. Now, we discussed this a couple days ago in the Daf, on Yud Aleph, and we talked about the hybrid vest, where her menstrual cycle comes, but not with one, but two precipitors that bring about her next menstrual cycle. One is days, and compounded with that, also is a physical action that she does. So, if we're talking about such a woman, Ela yesh la vest liyamim lukfitzos, kevet de b'maisa talya milsa, eim lo kafitz, v'lo chazai. If it's a compound vest, and her yom ha-vest has come, at least we can construct an argument and say, well, it's a compound vest, and her expected day has come and gone, and she didn't see anything. But explainable. In other words, because it's a compound vest, and there are two precipitors, so that at least we can make an argument that she didn't have the second precipitor. She didn't jump. Aval yesh la vest liyamim asur l'shamish. But if her vest is only a day interval between one menstrual cycle and the next menstrual cycle, so there, since it is only going to be contingent on days, and so therefore, if the day has come and gone, even though she didn't have argasha, even though she didn't see, nevertheless, she's going to be considered a nida. Aval yesh la vest liyamim asur l'shamish, kazav vestos d'araisa. So here now, in this second version of Rav Huna, it's basically the same point, which is Rav Huna subscribes to the position of vestos d'araisa. It's just a question of, well, what about her vest? If vestos d'araisa, and the Mishnah says she's in cheskas tahara, and she went right through her expect a day without seeing, well, how do you explain the Mishnah? And the answer is that our Mishnah is talking about a specific scenario of a compound vest. Rabba Bar Bachana Amar Afilu Yeshla Vest Liyamim Muteres. Now, Rabba Bar Bachana in the second version is going to still take the more lenient position. Even if her vest is only on days, it's only contingent on days, and nevertheless, if the day comes and goes, she could be with her husband. Kasavra Vestas de Rabbanan, because he subscribes to the viewpoint that Vestas de Rabbanan, not to Araisa.
Listen, the only question in the Mishnah is that the husband goes with the presumption. Given the fact that the relationship with the Nira is so severe, why wouldn't he just ask them the wife? Why should you go on presumption?
So good. So presumption is very strong. The principle.
I'm answering. Yeah.
The principle of presumption is a very strong principle. Chazaka dictates a lot of halacha throughout all of the Torah. And so you're right, he can ask her. On the other hand, there's also the power of chazaka. Chazaka is a principle in of itself. And so what the Mishnah is teaching us is that we can take the principle of chazaka and apply it to this scenario. Amr Shmuel Mishmei de Rav Yochanan, Isha Sheish La Vest, Bala Mechashev Yemei Vesta, Ubala. Okay. The Rav Shmuel says the following in the name of Rav Yochanan. Right? That a woman who has a fixed cycle. We are still describing the man who went away and has come back. So, what we learned together in the Mishnah is that in order for him to return back to his wife and to assume that she's in the state of Tahara, he has to have returned within Yemei Onasa. What we're now adding is a supplemental point, which is as follows. Let's say he comes back, not 28 days, but let's say he comes back, now I'm going to use the number 40. Okay. I was going to say, the numbers can get a little bit fuzzy, and I know why they can get fuzzy, but you'll see. Let me just use the number 40 just for the purpose of illustration. This is not a halachic discussion. This is a understanding of the Gemara discussion. So, Isha Sheish Laves, Bala Mechashe Yemei Vesta, Uva Alehem. So what now the husband can do is the husband can come back and figure like this. Look, his wife has a fixed menstrual cycle. So let's say it's 30 days. So 30 days, she's Anida. So if he's coming back and now on day 40, here's what he could take into consideration. All right, so Anida started on day 30. Anida is 7 days. Day 37, the night after day 37, she told him the mikvah. Okay, so we're good. Now, I know all this becomes confusing because bizmanenu nowadays, and when I say nowadays, this started already back in the time of the Gemara. Any woman who has a re'iyah, any kind of discharge, so it's treated immediately like a zavah gadola, which means that first you have to wait till she no longer is bleeding and she's no longer tamea. It's about 4 to 5 days. I'll explain that better later in the Masechta in terms of why. And then there's Shiva Nikiyim, so it could be 12, 13 days. Fine. Or in my the numbers that I gave, 11, 12 days. Anyway, regardless, the point is, let's just get to the, I don't want to get lost in these details. The point is that he can figure out the amount of time where, assuming that she was Anida, and then the amount of time that she needed to wait for her Anida status to end, and assuming that she went to the mikvah, the husband can make all these assumptions. I'm Le'er Shmuel Bar Yebel Rebbe Abi, I'm Rebbe Yochanan Afilo Yalada, Debizel Mitbal. Are you ready to apply this even to a woman who is not so motivated to go to the mikvah? A woman not motivated going to mikvah. Gemara is assuming that there is harmony in the house. It just happens to be that his wife happens to be extraordinarily young. She does not have the courage at this point in time to just simply go to the mikvah without a little bit of external motivation. So Amar le atu vadai rasa mi Amar Rav Yochanan emad Amar Rav Yochanan safik rasa safik lo rasa v'im tim salama rasa ematavla. So the Gemara says you have to take the following into consideration. Look, what are we talking about over here? He doesn't know that his wife was Anida. The only thing he knows is his father. He went away on a long trip, he's come back. So first and foremost, his wife may not have been Anida at all. That's suffix number one. Suffix number two, even if she was, she could have gone to the mikvah. So what we're looking at over here is that we don't even know definitively that his wife is Anida. So that's suffix plus, even if she was, she told him in the mikvah. That's your second suffix. Generally, what do we refer to this in halacha as? Sfeik sfeika. This is a double suffix. Avavada rasa miyemar de tavla havale suffix vada vein suffix mosi mi de vadai. But if we're talking about a woman who for sure was Anida, and now we don't know if she told him the mikvah, well, wait 1 second. That's a vadai. She's a vadai Anida. And now, I don't know if she told him the mikvah? Okay. That obviously is a different story, but we're talking here about a sfeik sfeika. Really interesting discussion. I'll only bring it up. I'm not going to go with any kind of depth into it. The Gemara over here seems to imply, and this goes back to the point that you made just moments earlier, Gemara seems to imply that in the case of Sveik Sveika, so because there is compound Suffolk, so therefore you could be Mako. Even in a scenario where you can easily ascertain. Meaning in this case over here, he could just simply ask her. And she'll give him the answer. But the principle of Suffolk, of Sveik Sveika, you see I keep focusing on the principles. But the principle of Sveik Sveika is such that because it is a multiple doubt, so therefore the Isser will say that the Isser doesn't exist at all. Meaning there doesn't need to be even clarification being made in terms of ascertaining as to whether his wife is an Ida. Is that true by every Sveik Sveika? Every Sveik Sveika that could be identifiable, where there's a possibility of Birur, does that mean that you have to be a Mevarer? From our Gemara, it seems like you don't have to be a Mevarer. Okay. I dropped that point. It's a really important point. It's a big point. But we're going to go on.
That's the principle that the Gemara uses for Yashon.
Yeah, right. Right. Such an idea. Correct. For us Ashkenazim. Velov Atanya. And so now the Gemara is going to press on this point. That if I have something which is Vadai, in our case we're talking about Tumah, but we could say Yisr as well. If I know that something is definitively Yisr, and I have a Suffolk, so what do we say? Suffolk's not going to be Motzi Midei Vadai. Gemara says, are you right about that? And the Gemara now is going to go through a number of scenarios where it doesn't seem like that's true. V'atanya, the Gemara says, consider the following chaver shemeiz v'iniach megurim alei peros. You have a person who was a chaver. It means he's careful about halacha. And he suddenly and unexpectedly died. And as we're going now through his house, what we discovered is he had a basket of fruit that he just harvested from his field. Now, he died in a different room because otherwise the fruit would be tummy. But anyway, he has a basket of fruit. And did he take off Trumas and Maestros? Well, he died unexpectedly. I don't know. And we know that prior to Trumas and Maestros being separated, so that produce is what's called Tevel, which means that it's Vaday Aser. And afilu heim b'nei yomam harehim b'cheskas mesukanim. And even if he collected the fruit that very day that he died, we are going to say that he was mafresh Trumas and Maestros. And that these fruit over here are no longer Aser, they're Mutter, even though we don't know. Now, Gemara says, let's think about this from a conceptual standpoint. It started off as Tevel. That's a given. And I don't know if he took off Trumas and Maestros. And the question of whether he took off Trumas and Maestros is going to uproot the Vadai Isser that it was? How does that work? According to you, I start off with Vadai Isser. I only have a question to remove the Isser. I shouldn't remove the Isser. Here, it seems like that's exactly what we're doing. Gemara's got answers. Hasam vade uvadai hu. That's not a question of vadai followed by suffik. That's an issue of vadai followed by vadai. How? Kidarev chanina chuza. Dama rev chanina chuza. Chazaka al chaver. Sheinu motzi mitachas yado davar sheinu mesukan. We have the following presumption regarding a chaver. A chaver is not somebody who's just knowledgeable about the halacha. He really cares about halacha. He's the kind of person where the moment he has a chance to rectify the situation, he will do so. As long as he collected the produce and he brought it in, we assume that he didn't take a coffee break. He didn't go out for lunch. But immediately, the first opportunity he had to rectify, to take off Shulman Samaisers, he did. That's not a suffik, that's a vadai. The Gemara says, or if you want, we can actually change the other side of the equation, which is that to start off with, you said it's Vaday Tevel, not Vaday Tevel, Suffolk Tevel. Why? Uchid Rabbi Yoshia, Damer Rabbi Yoshia, Marim Adam al Tvoso, Machnisim Bemoshala, Kedeshitei, Bemto Chalos, and Paturim and Amaiser. There are ways, legal loopholes, to get out of being Mafish Shumas Maestros Midda Araisa. A person can bring the grain into his house while it's still in its chaff. By doing so, it does not bring about the oraisa requirement to take off Trumas and Maestros. The only time that you're chayv to take off Trumas and Maestros mid oraisa is when it's roe pnei habayis, when the chaff has been removed and the grain is taken in after it's already been shelled. But if it has not been shelled, so as a technicality, it's not chayv in Trumas and Maestros mid oraisa. And a person can engage in such harama if he wants to feed it to his animal without having to take off trumas and maisos, upaturim and maisa, and it would be under those circumstances exempt. Okay, I know longer, lengthier discussion in terms of when such legal loopholes can be used, when they cannot be used. Anyway, we're just going to look at this in the context of our discussion, which is we assume that the tevel in the house was vade tevel. Not necessarily. Could be that it was not shelled before it came into the house. It was shelled only after it was taken in the house. And as a result of that, that is not a chiyuv d'oraisa. It's not iso d'oraisa. It's only a suffix. The akat gain suffix mosi mide vade v'atanya. The Gemara says, well, why don't we take the following case into consideration? If you're telling me that when we start with a vadai and we end with a suffix, suffix is not going to be mostly midi vadai, consider the following. Vatanya. There was an episode where there was a maidservant of a very tough person living in the town of Rimon. She miscarried. And her whatever came out of her went into a pit. Uvakoin vihitzitz bo. Leida im zachar im nekeva. Now what a Kohen did is a Kohen looked over the side to see what came out. Was it male or was it female? Because it will affect her tumah. Male, she'll be tumea for 7 days, 33 days. We'll explore that later in the Masechta. Female, 1466. So this Kohen wanted to render a ruling on her tumah, and so therefore he looked over the side. While looking over the side, his head is directly over a plumb line, directly over the nafel, which means that this Kohen is tummy. Did the Kohen act properly by looking over the side? Lengthy discussion amongst the Rishonim. I'm not gonna get into that part right now. I'm just focusing on what the Gemara's point. Is he tummy? Is this Kohen tummy for doing this? He went to the Chachamim. Chachamim said he's tahor. Now, Mimnei Shechulda Ubardos Mitsuyim Sham. Because he didn't see anything, by the way. If he did, he's tummy. He didn't see anything. It was dark. And the Chachamim said, well, you didn't see anything, but you know, there are lots of weasels on the bottom of that pit. And so, therefore, probably what happened is that one of the weasels took the nafel, and so, therefore, you're tummy. Now, the Gemara says, let's consider. Va'acha devadai hitila nafel. I'm sorry. Thank you. Oh, listening. I love it. And this separates the first hour of my teaching of the day and the rest of my day. The hacha devada hitila nefal suffik garua suffik lo garua. So the Gemara says like this. Look, here's what I know. I know that there was a discharge of a fetus that went into the bottom of the pit. That's a given. That's a vadai. And now you're telling me, well, maybe a weasel dragged it out. So you start with a vadai, and the suffix is able to remove the vadai? You said that can't happen. Because the suffix, mozi mide vadai. Lo tema hitila nefal labor, ela ema kimin nefal. So the Gemara says, wait one second. That's not what the Braisa said. Well, I'm sorry. I'm one step ahead of myself. So the Gemara says, well, we don't know what she discharged. Meaning she discharged something, it didn't have to be a nafel. No. So in other words, you actually start off with not a vadai, but only a possibility that what came out of her was something that's going to be in the time of the Kohen. The Gemara says, and the Kohen looked over, but it doesn't start off with a vadai. So v'hal leidaim zachem nekeva katani? Yeah, but that's not what the Braisa says. The Braisa says that she discharged a nafel, and he's only ascertaining its gender. So the Gemara says, no, hachi kamar. The Gemara says, we'll just read that into the Braisa. What the Braisa means is that she discharged something, and what he was looking to ascertain is either A, was it a fetus, or was it just simply a discharge of biological fluids, but not a fetus? And then, number two, if it was in fact was a fetus, what was his gender? So, in other words, we're defending by saying that it starts off as a suffix. Ibai Seima. Gemara offers another possibility. Kevin de Chulda Bardos Mitzuyim Sham Vadegaruha. The idea that weasels are taking the fetus is not a suggestion. It's not a proposal. It's a given. That also is a given. And so therefore, it's not Vadefa by Suffolk. It's Vadefa by Vadai.